name Yahweh, the only name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. This is Brother Arnold with the Repair of the Breach broadcast, Restore a Past to Dwell In. Preaching and teaching that there's only one name under heaven, given among men, that you can be saved by, and it's not Jesus, Jesus, or Jesus. It's YHWH, Yahweh. You say hallelujah, it's praise Yahweh. You know, I was talking last week, of course the shortwave was down last week, but people on the internet, if, you know, was listening, could heard what we was talking about, how that preachers and teachers and people are just, they don't have a revelation, and they don't get no revelation. They just make up stuff. I guess it's sort of like Brother Roger says from Ohio, we just try to put the shock and awe on people. But there's enough shock and awe in the scripture without having to make up stuff. The lunar Sabbath shocks them pretty good. The Pentecost not being in the third month, like the traditional Pentecost, being in the end of the fourth month, beginning of the fifth month. That's a shock and awe to them. These are things that, the Pentecost is something that he personally showed me. Don't know why he chose to show me this revelation, this understanding. And I was studying lunar Sabbaths, and I seen that. And I got to looking at different things, and it's true. But anyhow, it's one of the most provable doctrines in Scripture. You count seven Sabbaths, then you number 50 days, then you bring a new meat offering or a new grain offering. That's Pentecost. Nothing says it's 50 days from the wave sheaf. You count 50 days from the seventh Sabbath, not 50 days from the wave sheaf. That's Leviticus 23, verse 16. That's what it says, what it teaches. And that's the way they done it. When you look over in Exodus 32, verse 5, when Aaron proclaimed a cog, which that's what Pentecost is, a cog. There's only three a year. One at unleavened bread, one at Pentecost, and one at tabernacles. Well, when he said this, it would have been after they counted seven lunar Sabbaths complete, then numbered 50 days, and then brought the new grain offering, which would harmonize with so many scriptures. It was the very day the law was given to Moshe or Moses on Mount Sinai. Jude the seventh from Adam prophesied. The book of Jude prophesied that Enoch the seventh from Adam would come with 10,000 of his saints and convince them, or the ungodly, it says, of their ungodly deeds. That's what the law does. It convinces you of sin. And then in Deuteronomy, I think it's 33, verse 3 or 5, I'm not sure. Deuteronomy 33, I'm pretty sure. I'm getting my Bible here. But it talks about Moses said, Yahweh came with 10,000 of his saints. So, well, that's what Jude prophesied and delivered a fiery law. And I've always looked at that as the second coming, and I don't say that it can't have something to do. It could be a dual prophecy. You know, prophecy sometimes is dual. It can happen, you know. Of course, he came at Pentecost. There was 3,000 souls killed back then when the law was written in stones. And he came, poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts, second chapter there. 3,000 souls were saved. And he's coming for judgment on those that don't keep his law. And I believe he's coming at Pentecost. He said, why do you believe that, Brother? Well, I got a lot of scriptures, but I need to put it all down and write an article on it. But he's coming to gather his wheat into the barn. And it's going to be at a time that the wine press is there, which has got to be not the traditional Pentecost. It's got to be, there's no wine in the third month. And remember, they, on the day of Pentecost, they was being accused of being drunk with new wine. That's fresh wine. It ain't last year's wine. Prophet Joel in 2nd chapter Joel says that, speaking about the last days, which we're in, the last of last days, begin back then. Said that the floors would be full of wheat and the wine press is full of wine. There's no wine in them presses in the third month for a traditional third month Pentecost. It's that simple. But if you count seven Sabbaths, then number 50 days, then bring the new meat offering, then you can have wine in the presses. That's when they was being accused of being drunk with new wine. Peter didn't say ain't no new wine ready yet. It's the third month. He said they're not drunk like you supposed, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Let's see, Deuteronomy 33. See. Yeah, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he prophesied, and Moses declared it here in 33. Here's what it says. I think it's Deuteronomy 33. Yeah, here it is. Start at verse 1. Start at verse 2. It said, and he said, Yahweh came from Sinai and rose up from Syria unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. See, that's Moses telling this after they was getting ready to go into the land, because Moses didn't go into the land. But he says, from his right hand went a fiery law for them. Did you know that this didn't happen till the end of the 40 days and 40 nights that the law was given to Moses? The law wasn't given to Moses, the tables of stone, in the third month. Now, he spoke the Ten Commandments there, and Moses wrote down and wrote it down. But Moses wasn't even on the mount then. He was down there in the camp with the people. He did call him on up into the mount. But he told him the next day, he said, come up and be thou with me, Moses, and I'm going to give you a law that I have written and tables of stone that you may teach them. So Moses went up, and after he was there 40 days and 40 nights, Yahweh would give him the law. And it was on the day of Pentecost. It was the same day that Aaron said was a kog. That's a Hebrew word for one of the three major feasts, pilgrim feasts, which had to have been Pentecost, because we know it wasn't unleavened bread when they left Egypt, it wasn't tabernacles when they got over. It was counted seven Sabbaths. It had to be lunar Sabbaths, or it'd be 2 days off. Then they numbered 50 days, then they brought new grain offering. You can read that in Deuteronomy, I think it's 9:11, where it says, turn over here and look at it. A lot of people like to read these scriptures. That way the devil can't say I didn't read no scripture, didn't give no scripture. But anyhow, didn't know I was going to get on this, but whatever's on my heart and mind, the Bible said from the abundance of heart the mouth speaketh. Let's see, Deuteronomy 9 and 11. Let's start at 9 and 9. Moses said, when I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant, which Yahweh made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water, and Yahweh delivered unto me 2 tables of stone written with the finger of the Almighty, and on them was written according to all the words which Yahweh spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Now he spoke there in the third month in the day of assembly. Look at Exodus 31 and 18, and I'll show you something. Exodus 31, 18. It's, a lot of people get a sack of witness. You don't need a sack of witness when Yahweh says something. If he says it one time, it's as good as if you said it 100,000 times. 31:18. Now listen. It's not it. Maybe it is. I'm looking at 30. Let's say 31:18. It says right here, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of the Almighty. See, verse 17 where it talks about, you know, the Sabbath's a sign. Verse 17, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel. For in 6 days, Yahweh made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communion with him. You know, the only place you can find a pinpointed sign day is on the 15th. And we believe the week of Sabbath is on the 15th. And he said it was a sign between him and his people. I had made mention, and I think it's very powerful. It really ain't no need of arguing with nobody to keep lunar Sabbath. They just fight. We've always been on, the defensive, and always giving them scripture and showing them how that there was no Sabbath on any other day in scripture, and showing them how that the scripture says that the weekly Sabbath is a Moed, and the moon is for Moeds. That's Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3 says, these are my feasts. That word feast is Moeds. And the first one was 6 days, rest the seventh. Holy convocation. Then Psalms 104:14 says, he appointed the moon for Moeds. The word there is seasons, but the same word is feast or Moed. So if the moon is appointed or ordained for Moed or feast or appointments, and the week of Sabbath is a feast, Moed or appointment, then that should end the debate for any reasonable, unbiased people. You notice he didn't single out and say it was for all Moeds except the weekly Sabbath, Moed. As a matter of fact, Psalm 104:19 says where he appointed he took two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and lesser light to rule the night. He said, let them be for days and years, signs and seasons. That's that word seasons again. Let them be for Moeds or appointments. The only appointment was the weekly appointment there. They hadn't left Egypt for unleavened bread or tabernacles. It was for the weekly appointment. Things are just hidden in simplicity. And I tell people the truth is the truth. If nobody in the world believes it. And a lie is a lie, no matter if everybody in the world believes it. But I had made mention, which I was going to say a while ago, and I forgot. I tell people I got a good memory, it's just short. I forget if I don't say it. Sometimes you have to go back and piece all of what I said together. I might be speaking in parables, reckon. But anyhow, just think what I was going to say. Forgot it again. Oh, I was going to tell you how that you can to take the crutch away. You know, people always go back and say, "Well, brother, it's a 7-day cycle, a continuous 7-day cycle, uninterrupted cycle." Well, that's impossible. Yahweh's knocked off the confusion. I'm going to tell you how it would be confusion if that was so. Well, I did tell people. I'm not going to go into it too much, but the bottom line is, if Adam and Eve's descendants migrated east and west around the globe, and he told them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, then when they meet here, in the United States or anywhere on the globe, they'll be in two different seventh-day cycles. They'll both be right, because the ones going east are counting 1 through 7 over and over again, and say 2 or 3,000 years later, their descendants, it was handed down, they still count 1 through 7. It don't matter if Adam came here counting 1 through 7 or his descendants, it's still the same. And when he gets here, United States, he keeps the seventh-day cycle according to that tradition, right? Well, if you had another Adam or Adam's descendants going around the other way of the globe, the ones traveling, of course, the ones traveling east is going to gain time. They'll see the sun earlier and earlier each day. They'll keep the Sabbath, then it'll go on around to those that's traveling west, then they'll keep it. Is that, can you get that in, can you get your mind around that? Then they go on a little further around the globe, and the ones going east, they'll see the sun before the ones that went west, they'll keep the seventh-day cycle, then it'll go around to the ones going west, then they'll keep the seventh-day cycle. But when they touch hands around here in the U.S., the ones that went east to keep the seventh-day cycle just like they've been doing for thousands of years, then it'll go around, and the ones that they're shaking hands with here in the U.S. or anywhere on the globe, they'll keep it the next day. They'll both be right. And that's not hard to understand if you meditate on it. If you can't get it and can't grasp it, call any mathematician, call Fermbank Science Center, any science center, call NASA. They're good at calculating, figuring stuff out. It won't take them 2 seconds to figure that out. They can calculate hooking all these rocket ships up and shooting them up there in space. They can certainly tell you in just a matter of seconds. Anyway, you can do it yourself. It's just an absolute. This is why they had to create a man-made dateline. It's called the International Dateline. And they run into this problem when they got off of Yahweh's creation calendar, where he said, let them, talk about the great lights, be for days and years. They created their own months and days and years. Well, with the solar month, they disregarded the moon, Julius Caesar in 46 B.C. They just count 30, 31 days. And so they had to have a dateline. Now remember, originally the moon set the dates. Every place you find a date in the Bible is by the moon. And this is how they dated, like on the 22nd day of the first moon. That's talking about the 22nd day of the month. Well, when you done away with the real months, the moon, and brought in a false month, and then when these people are traveling around the globe, they cross this imaginary date line. They have to add or subtract a day depending on which way they're going, so that when they meet on the other side of the earth, they'll be on the same date of the month. Are you following that? They'll be on the same date of the month. But the cycle stayed the same. In other words, the people that went east actually seen one more evening and morning cycle than those that went west. And that's why when they get here and shake hands here in the U.S., the United States of America, they would keep the Sabbath, and then it would go around to those that went west. They keep it the day separate. Now you know Yahweh ain't in that. He ain't, no, he wants everybody. But with lunar Sabbaths, and if you hadn't have done away with the lunar months, guess what? When they meet here, they'd look up, they'd be in the same day of the moon, same day of the month. Wouldn't have to do anything. It just works that way. Anyhow, I said I didn't want to go into that so much, but it's an absolute fact that the traditional Sabbath day they want to keep running you back to can't be right. That's the end of the debate. That's the nail in the coffin to these guys. We've been showing them, you know, how that not only history, science, math proves lunar Sabbath, the scriptures conclusively proves it. We got eyewitnesses of Levite priests like Philo that lived at the same time our Savior did, that kept lunar Sabbaths. All of this evidence, this man was chosen to lead a delegate to Rome over the persecution of the Jews, and if he'd kept a different Sabbath than the Jews and the Messiah and the apostles, they wouldn't have chose him to, for such a monumental task to, that their lives depended on, to go plead their case at Rome. And he kept lunar Sabbaths. See, the weeks were originally lunar, and the months were originally lunar. You had your new moon worship day, and then you had six work days, and you rest the seventh day. But them six work days and rest the seventh day, that's lunar weeks. Ezekiel, if you're a first-time listener or you're listening, you need to write some of this down. Ezekiel 46, 1 and verse 3, 1 and 3, it teaches, the Heavenly Father says that his gates to his house, the gates look toward his, these, toward his house, to be shut the six working days. That's separate from your Sabbath and your new moon. He said the gates be shut the six working days, but they should be open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. So you don't count your new moon worship days in with your ordinary six working days. You got your new moon worship day, then you got six working days, and you rest the Sabbath. So it's the same way that the year of Jubilees breaks up the cycle of 7 years. The way it does it is like the same way that the new moon. So you got your work days at the end of the month, and your last Sabbath of the month, the fourth Sabbath of the month, he said you leave the gates open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. So you have back-to-back worship days before you count your first work day again. You got your Sabbath and new moon worship days. Then you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest the seventh day. But it'll be the eighth day of the month. Now, same way with the year of Jubilees. They had sabbatical years. They would work they would work the land 6 years. They would rest the seventh year. Let the land rest. And they would do that seven times. Seven times seven is 49, right? Well, on that last sabbatical year, either they planted and sowed and reaped the fields for 6 years, and they let the land rest the seventh year, guess what? They had a back-to-back land rest. They let the land rest then. Then they had the year of Jubilees, which was another land rest. You don't sow nor reap, and you had back-to-back land rest. Well, guess what? That broke up the cycle. It's not ours doing, it's his doing. Well, after your 50th year of Jubilees, guess what? You start counting your first year of sowing and reaping again. You got 6 years of sowing, and then the seventh year of reap. And then that goes for another 7 years, then on the 100th year, you'll have another back-to-back land rest. You see, it breaks up the cycle. People's got it in their mind, well, brother, you're breaking the cycle. Well, it needs to be broken, and I didn't break it. Y'all was the one that breaks the cycle with the back-to-back worship days. At the end of each month, you have your last Sabbath, and you followed with a new moon worship day. There's two back-to-back worship days. Just say if he said, blow the trumpet in the new moon and Sabbath, right? Let's say you followed them instructions, and here come the Sabbath. At the end of the month, you blowed it. And then, the next day, you blowed it again. But you don't blow it just on the new moon. Then you got 6 days of no blowing the trumpet. And then you blow it again on the seventh day. But that'll be the eighth day of the month. It's the Sabbath. He said, blow it on the Sabbath. Let's see if I can make that plainer. You got 6 days of no blowing the trumpet. Let's start off new moon. Blow the trumpet. Then 6 days, no blowing the trumpet, right? Then the seventh day, blow the trumpet. and you do that four times, 6 more days of blowing, I mean no blowing the trumpet, and then one day of blowing the trumpet on your second Sabbath of the month. Third month's the same. 6 more, no blowing of the trumpet, then blow it on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, which would be the 22nd. That's the third week. Then you got 6 more days of no blow. This is your last week of the month now. You got 6 more days that you don't blow the trumpet. Then you blow the trumpet on the seventh day. But now, you've got the new moon day coming up. You just blowed it on the seventh day. So you got to blow it again on the seventh day. I mean the new moon day. And then, guess what? You got back to back blowing the trumpet. Then you got 6 days of no blowing it again. I hope somebody caught that. But anyhow, that's what the scripture teaches. You know, Yahweh's word is not that difficult. What makes it difficult is people has got their own ideas of things. You can hear us broadcast again. Maybe we'll be back up. We're on Tuesday night from 9:30 to 10. 9:30 to 10. Of course, we're on 10:30 to 11 here. It's pretty late for me, but I like to stay up and do it if I don't go to sleep. But anyhow, we got a website at lunarsabbath.info. Go over there and check out some of this stuff, and if you see where I'm wrong or some word, let me know and I'll either change it or show you where I'm right, but I don't want to tell nobody wrong. I'm not in this for money or vainglory. I'm just sharing what I believe has been revealed to me. I put out a disclaimer the other week. Don't believe everything I say. Check and search and see if it's so or not. Don't believe nothing nobody says. Prove all things. I could tell you wrong. I'm human like everybody else. I can make mistakes. I don't know everything. I do try to speak the things that I've been assured of. That's why you don't hear me preaching a whole lot. Yeah, I guess everybody agreed with that. They said, won't you preach something else besides Lunar Sabbaths and keeping the law and his true name? Will you? Some of you ain't obeyed some of this stuff. You obey that, maybe we move on to something else. But I have to speak the things that I've been assured of. Some of these preachers, you ask them a question, they'll answer it. They give you some kind of answer where it's right or not. They hate to say they don't know. But saying you don't know something, you know, that ain't no sin. Might be a sin, probably is a sin, to say you know and don't know and try to tell somebody something, just preaching something you've been heard or tradition. It's time to get off that cycle, Sabbath people, and get on the great lights, the creation Sabbath of Genesis 1:14. Let them be for days and years, signs and seasons. We got a phone number you can call as soon as this broadcast is over. Stand by here just a little bit and take any calls. Free literature. Air code is 770. Phone number is 483-8542. That number again is 770-483-8542. Go to our website, lunarsabbath.info. Lunarsabbath.info. Until next week, may Yahweh bless you. Shalom.